chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for that victory that we do have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word, and your word is true. Lord, I pray that we would be people of a pure heart, ministers of a pure heart. Lord, I pray that you would anoint every song. Lord, that you would anoint Scott and speak through him in a powerful way this morning. Lord, I thank you for this campus. I thank you for this school. And I thank you for the men and women of God that are gathered here. And I pray that we would leave here today different than when we came in, seeking a closer walk with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I don't smoke. Now, I could have said I'm a Baptist, but I don't know if that would have made my point. But I'm a preacher of the gospel. Gee, oh, Scott, come on, man. You're just a regular guy. You're just an everyday Joe. You like to have a good time. Come on, help yourself. Besides, I never do this. I thought to myself, divine never. There I was, a Christian, a preacher, and my purity was under attack. The days when preachers or Christians even would walk into a room and people would put the corks in their beer bottles, put up their cigarettes and clean up their mouth, those days are fast fleeting. And our purity is becoming more and more under open attack in an impure world. So often it seems as though we're fighting against the odds. I mean, let's get honest. The bad seems to wear off on the good, does it not? You take a white glove, you stick it in a mud puddle. Does the glove get muddy? Does the mud get glovy? The bad seems to wear off on the good. But yet God has put before us a standard of purity, a standard of holiness that we are, as children of a holy God, to maintain. And I believe that according to Psalms 119, we can maintain our purity in a Christian environment. The Bible says in Psalms 119, the psalmist asks a question that all of us have asked at one time or another. He says this, he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young woman, a young Christian, or any age Christian, a believer in today's world, keep their way pure? And then he goes on to answer his question, because it is possible for a child of God to maintain his purity in an impure world. I believe that our text suggests two ways that you and I can maintain our purity in an impure environment. First of all, if you and I are going to maintain our purity in an impure world, first of all, we've got to make the Word of God our standard. We must make the Word of God our standard. Look there in verse 9. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And then he answers this question, by keeping it according to. The words according to there suggest a standard, and then he names that standard, by keeping it according to thy word. A couple of summers ago, really back in the summer of 1989, I had the joy of going on a missions trip to Haiti with my church. And we went there and went to Haiti and did some mission work, and about midway through our week there, we had the joy and the opportunity of going to a swimming pool. Man, we were excited. We were going to get to go to a real-life swimming pool in Haiti. And we had to go to this pool. There's an old hotel that sat on the side of a mountain. So we piled in the back of our truck and drove up there to the side of that mountain. We piled off that truck, and man, it had been one of those hot, nasty, sweaty days, and we couldn't wait to go swimming. Man, we looked across that thing, and I'm telling you, I think that was the most beautiful pool I've ever seen in my life. I mean, we worked hard and long. We were ready to swim. And there that pool was. It was out there. You could see the nice cut grass around that thing and the lawn chairs out there and that big slab of cement stuck in nice cool palm trees leaning over. Man, it was beautiful. So our whole crew just kind of stampeded like a herd of water buffalo and stopped there on the edge of that thing. And I remember standing there looking in that pool. I'm telling you, that was the nastiest pool I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was nasty. No chlorine and it was fed by a mountain stream, and it was all cloudy and stuff. You could barely see the bottom, and now to think back on it, I wish I couldn't have seen the bottom. I mean, it was nasty, and there was leaves and trash and mush down in there. It was nasty, but it was nasty, listen, by my standards. See, I was an American. I swam in nice pools in people's backyards, clean, pure pools. Now I look into this nasty pool, but listen, this pool was clean by Haitian standards. I mean, by Haitian standards, it was really pure, because see, in Haiti, trash runs through the streets. In Haiti, they wash their clothes, they bathe, and they recreate all in the same river. To Haitians, this was a clean pool. Now, we were hot, and we were nasty, and we wanted refreshment. So what we did is we went swimming. But what we had to do is we had to adapt our level of purity to match that of our environment before we could take a dunk. A lot of times, it's easy for us to get to the place in our Christian life where we will simply adapt our level of purity to the level of purity in our pagan carnal environment. And though we may achieve a level of purity and holiness that is significantly better than those around us, according to the standard of the Word of God, we may still be being lost. Purity. Let the Word of God set the standard. But sadly, I don't think that this is always the case. Sometimes we do adapt to our environment, we become desensitized and reevaluate our level of holiness, but often, something I'm seeing today is that we become so scared of legalism, so wary of being legalistic, that we've lowered our standard of purity. Just last spring, I was walking across this campus, and I walked up behind a fellow student, a pastor of a local church, and I heard something come out of his mouth that would shock my grandma. But then what came as a greater shock is what he said right after that. When he laughed, he said, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not a legalist. Folks, we'll have no power in our pews. We'll have no power in our prayers. We'll have no power in our pulpits until there's purity in our preachers." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of God live in you richly, abundantly." To some that may appear as legalism, but to God it is a standard. James 1:22 says, "Don't be just hearers of the word, be doers." James were to write that letter to Southeastern Seminary to us as an encouragement, he may say, "Don't simply be hearers of the word, don't simply be preachers of the word, but be doers also." See, time and time again, we're exhorted to set the standard before our people. Set the standard before our people. Folks, I believe it's high time that we live the standard before our people. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living, and it's quick, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And listen, then it says that it's able to actually judge the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Our purity is not judged by social norms. Our purity is not judged by traditions of the church. Our purity is not judged by our own feelings and opinions. Our purity must be judged by the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Let the Word of God speak directly to the areas that influence your purity. Let the Word of God address how you handle your finances. Let the Word of God address how we handle our marriages and our social lives. Let the Word of God address how we operate with our deacons. Let the Word of God address how we conduct our interpersonal relationships. Let the Word of God address how we spend our entertainment. I tell you what we need to do. After service, after school's over today, let's all go home and let's get a little card or a piece of paper about yay big. And let's write on that piece of paper, let's write Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, you know the verse. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Is that not what it says? Then let's take that little piece of paper and stick it right on our TV set. And then promise yourself that every time that scripture gets violated on that television screen, promise yourself you'll turn it off. Now, how would that affect how much time we spend in front of? How would that affect how much time our families sit in front of television? Conviction, you see. Let the Word of God address the way we live our lives in every single area. And when our lives come in conflict with the principles of the Word, we have a choice to make. We either change our lifestyle and adapt it to the Word, or we must change the Word to adapt to our lifestyle. And my friends, the Word of God does not change. Let the Word of God be our standard. If we're going to maintain purity in an impure world, we must make the Word of God our standard. But number two, we must not only make the Word of God our standard, we must make the God of the Word our focus. Look there in verse 10. "With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments." Now, you know that the word for heart there is a Hebrew word that signifies the seat of the mind, the will, and the emotions. So in the psalm it says, I've sought you, Lord, with all my heart. He's saying, I'm seeking you with all my mind and all my heart, all my will. All my emotions are focused on you. You're my one focus, my one devotion. With all my heart, I've sought you. I believe the psalmist had a one-track mind. I remember when I was growing up in my home, house cleaning was a high priority for my mom. Can you identify? Now, me and my brother, man, we were cleaning house from day one. I mean, my walker was strapped to a vacuum cleaner, you know what I mean? We were cleaning house, man, and on Saturdays was house cleaning day. And I'm telling you, it was the same story over and over. You see, house cleaning was a high priority for my mom. Cartoons were a high priority for me. About 10, 11 years old, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, mom would come in and she'd be, man, she'd been up since 6, you know, cleaning house. She was just hitting turbo about 9 o'clock. She'd come in. I'm sitting there watching. I'm glued to the television screen. She comes in there and her hair's all mushed and she's wearing her old sweatshirt and her old jeans. She's got a dripping rubber glove on each hand. She'd push her glasses up, you know, like this, so she wouldn't get anything on her glasses. Push her glasses up. And then she would shower me with a barrage of chores and commands that I was to carry out throughout the afternoon. The thing is, I never heard a word. You see, I had a one-track mind. And I'm still that way today, man. If I'm reading something or listening to somebody or watching something, you could talk to me all day long, you know, and it just doesn't register. And I believe that the same principle applies in the psalmist's life. Man, he was so tuned in on God. He had God as his focus. He had drawn a bead on God. And no matter how much came along that tempted and came against and assaulted his purity, he was going to keep his eyes on Jehovah God. He had a one-track mind. One-track mind. I believe God wants to use men who have one-track minds set on him. He says, all my heart I've sought thee. And he had found God. So how do you know that? Because Jeremiah 29:13, God said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you search for me with what? All your heart. Man, he had found God. I mean, he searched for him with all his heart. He had attained a level of purity, and he wanted to maintain it. However, he realized that man's tendency is always to wander from the things of God. That's true, isn't it? I mean, our tendency is never to migrate toward the things of God. And so once we seek God, once we find God, and God is evident in our lives, it's not over. And so that's why the psalmist quotes the rest of this verse when he says, with all my heart I have sought thee. Therefore, do not let me wander from your commandments. The word for wander there means to sin out of error or to sin out of ignorance. Basically, the psalmist was saying this. God, I've sought you. I want you to become evident in every area of my life. I focused on you. You are my one devotion. And I have found you. For you promised you'd be found. Now, Lord, keep me from doing something stupid to mess it all up. And it's so great to see this verse at work. You know how this verse works? Sometimes maybe you're down on your knees and you're just starting to pray. Or maybe you're standing in a worship service like this and you're beginning to praise God. And as soon as you get in the presence of God, the Spirit of God will lovingly, gently, yet forcefully bring something up. And God won't let you go on in praise and worship. And God won't let you go on in prayer with a clear conscience until you get that thing right. How many times do we stand? Now, we have a choice there. We can rebel or we can repent at that point. But I want you so much to understand that we need to appreciate that aspect of the Spirit's work. Because when we come into the presence of God and we seek Him, His Spirit pricks us and convicts us and prevents our wander. Lord, I've sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I believe we can maintain purity in an impure world. If we'll make the Word of God our standard, and if we'll make the God of the Word our focus. Not too long ago, I went to a wedding of a friend of mine. A friend of mine got married in Georgia, and actually, a lot of my friends have gotten married lately. Been in everybody's wedding but my own. But anyway, he got married, and I had seen him and his fiancée through the whole dating relationship. I'll never forget that day as that bride stepped into the doorway of that church. Her name was Tammy. And Tammy, man, I mean, I had seen her in blue jeans, I'd seen her on mission trips, painting, getting nasty, hair messed up. That day she stood in that doorway, my friend, and she was beautiful. She was wearing the finest white gown I'd ever seen. And what made her more beautiful to me, and I believe what made her even more beautiful to those that knew her, was the fact that she was pure. And she was a woman of integrity. And she was faithful to her groom. My friend, as she walked down that aisle, and she looked her groom dead in the eye, she could look at him with a clear conscience, in purity and holiness and integrity. And he was looking at her, and I know he was trying to maintain. He was real, you know, refined and rigid. But on the inside, I know he was going, "Woo! Praise the Lord!" Woman of God walking down the aisle, his bride, and this was his wedding day. My dear friend, in Revelation 19, the scripture is clear when it says that we are the bride of Christ. And one day there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And just then our groom, the great Lord, Jesus Christ, is going to come back for his church. And I want to tell you this morning that God's not coming back for a cigar-sucking, adulterous bride. He's coming back for a holy bride, spotless before him, to take to our eternal home. Oh, we're living in an impure world, my friends, but let me tell you something. We can maintain our purity in an impure environment. If we'll make the God of the Word our focus and make the Word of God our standard. For Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God."
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for your Word and for the preaching of it. And Lord, how we have been reminded today of that need for purity before a watching world in the presence of a Holy Spirit. And because we're a new creation in Christ, Lord, keep us pure. And we pray for anyone in this building right now who has begun that slippery slope of compromise. You would draw that person back quickly, decisively, pure ground. We pray, Lord, that we'll always know that we want to walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're dismissed.
What I'll do is, you know, the devil come after, I need to leave the deal.